Morning. Good to see all of you here this morning. What a joy and a blessing it always is for us as we come together on the first day of the week to come in the presence of God to blend our hearts and our voices together in song and in prayer. And as we have remembered the great love that God has shown for us and His mercy and His grace at the cross of Calvary this morning, and to open His Word together and to consider some good things that God has to say to us. It seems that the sick bug or sick season has begun in this congregation. And even as was mentioned this morning, several that were here earlier are not here with us. So let's do what we can to check on our brothers and sisters in Christ and to serve them in any way that we can. As our culture relies more and more on the wisdom that is from below, as we have read here in James chapter 3, and less on the wisdom that is from above, I believe we're going to continue to see an increase in disorder and every evil thing, as James mentions to us there at James chapter 3 and verse 16, along with a decline in moral character and a decline in spiritual character in our culture. Godly qualities like love and mercy, peace and goodness, and many others that we can read about in Scripture are, I believe, in many areas of American life already being replaced with values like hatred and meanness and strife and evil. One spiritual quality that also appears to be on the way out in our society is the spiritual quality of kindness. And so we're going to ask the question this morning in our lesson and try to answer this question: what has happened to kindness? As we think about that question this morning, we're going to look at just a few things that the Bible has to say about this spiritual quality. And as we do that, we want to really ask and answer three questions, just three very basic questions this morning about this spiritual characteristic of kindness. What, and then why, and then who? And so I hope that you have your Bible with you this morning and that you'll follow along as we study together from the Word of God. The word kindness, as we think about what it is from, obviously, the root word kind. If you look up just in a regular English dictionary, kindness, it may have as the first definition the act of being kind. And so we have to understand what we're talking about as we think about what it means to be kind. But as that word is used in Scripture, and especially as the word kind or kindness is used in the New Testament, according to Thayer's dictionary, it carries the following definitions. It is the idea of being useful. It is the idea of a person who is virtuous or a person who is morally excellent. It is the idea of someone who does good. It can also be describing a person's attitude or a person's disposition of heart, someone who has a mild manner about them, someone who has a pleasant attitude or a pleasant disposition. And it can also be describing what we do, that we are benevolent to those who are in need around us. All of these ideas, all of these words, I think you really take all of them together and you put them together and you have that idea of biblical kindness. Of course, like other spiritual qualities, kindness is, as this definition really points out to us, I think, it is both an inward attitude that we have toward another person, but it's also how we express that, what we do with that on the outside. It is having useful and beneficial words and actions toward that person or for that person. And so it's not enough for us to just say, if someone were to ask us, are you a kind person, to just say, yes, I think kind things toward other people in my mind all the time. But how does that come out in our life? How does that come out as we interact with other people around us? We have to have that mindset, that spiritual quality within our heart, but it has to come out in our dealings with other people. In other words, kindness is not just something that we feel on the inside. As many people think about the word love, is that being a spiritual quality or characteristic that we read about in the Bible, that that's just kind of a feeling, that's just kind of an emotion that we have. But it is an action, and so it is of for kindness as well. It is something that we show on the outside as well. And so I want you to maybe keep those thoughts in mind as we continue in our lesson this morning, thinking about what has happened to kindness. Why should you and I show kindness? Well, first of all, and I think this would be a great reason, even if we didn't give any other reasons this morning, but you and I should show kindness to other people because God Himself shows each one of us kindness. We are recipients of the kindness of our Heavenly Father. I want you to go, first of all, if you have your Bible this morning, to the book of Titus in chapter 3. Titus chapter 3, and beginning there at verse 4, reading down through verse 7, as the Apostle Paul is writing to the preacher Titus here, he is giving him some instructions, kind of like he did to the young preacher Timothy in 1 and 2 Timothy, some things not only that Timothy and Titus needed to know, some things not only that they needed to live themselves, but some instructions, some teaching that they needed to teach those Christians and congregations that they were working with. And so this is a great teaching for all of us to consider here in Titus 3, verse 4, beginning. As the Apostle Paul really describes our former life there in verse 3, he says there, "But when the kindness of God, our Savior, and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by His grace, we would be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." The Apostle Paul, of course, has already reminded us about God's grace appearing back at the end of chapter 2 and how that appeared in the person of Jesus Christ when He came to earth. And so it seems to me that here in this section of chapter 3, Paul is really returning to that thought. He is thinking about our salvation. And so this morning, if we are children of God, we need to remember, maybe sometimes we forget this, because perhaps it has been a long while since we became a child of God, since we became a Christian. But as His child, we need to remember that God has shown His kindness to me, God has shown His kindness to you, to all of us, by saving us on the basis of His character, saving us on the basis of His love and on the basis of His grace and on the basis of His mercy. And the Apostle Paul again reminds us there how important it is that that the kindness of God comes into this equation as well at verse 4. That when the kindness of God appeared, when it was manifested, I believe, in the death, the life, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we were saved from our sins. The kindness that God showed you and I in Jesus Christ is something that is absolutely useful, isn't it? It is something that is absolutely beneficial. Because God in Jesus Christ, as He gives us salvation through His Son Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ in giving His life on the cross really was doing for me what I could not do for myself. None of us could save ourselves just in and of ourselves. We had to rely upon God. And it was because of God's, again, grace, mercy, His love, but also His kindness that He saved us from our sins in His Son, Jesus Christ. Another passage connected to this, I believe, as we are Christians, not just as we are initially saved from our sins, but I want you to think about a few things that the Apostle Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. He says, "Therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the Word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord." While it certainly is true that every person that is alive, every person that really has lived since God created the world, and every person that will live until the world is no more, while it is true that every person enjoys God's kindness in some way or another, even as Jesus said Himself there in Luke chapter 6 and verse 35, that our Father is kind to ungrateful and evil men, that He sends the rain on the just and the unjust, that He sends the sun on the just and the unjust, that all of us, in a sense, who are living here on earth, are recipients of the kindness of God. It is also true that as a Christian, we have tasted, as the Apostle Peter describes it there at verse 3, we have experienced God's kindness in a very special way, in a very unique way. And it again, I believe, goes back to what we just read there in Titus chapter 3, that we have experienced salvation from our sins in His Son Jesus Christ, when the kindness of God appeared, when Jesus Christ came to this world as our Savior. We have experienced His kindness in that way. We are saved from our sins. If we are Christians, we are blessed in Jesus Christ. We have so many blessings to be thankful for. As even Peter points out here in this text, we are growing in the Word. We are constantly growing and maturing in Jesus Christ as we read the Word, as we think about the Word, as we try to look for ways that we can live the Word and apply the Word to our life. And we're trying to be what Christ calls us to be. The song that Brother Nate led us in just a moment ago is so appropriate, I think, as we're thinking about this particular thought. Oh, to be like Thee. That ought to be our goal. That ought to be our aim in life, that we can be more like Jesus Christ, that we can be more like our Heavenly Father. And Christ has called us to be a certain kind of people, to have a certain kind of character. And we have the opportunity, the blessing, to be what Christ has called us to be. And certainly all of us who are Christians enjoy that blessing, that hope of heaven and living with our God eternally. But all of that is made possible because you and I, if we're Christians, we have tasted the kindness of God. And so we're trying to be children of God, aren't we? We're trying to be those who look like our Father. And one of His characteristics is that of kindness. But secondly, and really connected to that, maybe an extension or outgrowth of that first point, is that kindness is a part of the fruit of the Spirit. Go to the book of Galatians chapter 5 for just a moment. Galatians chapter 5. And the Apostle Paul, of course, lists for us the works of the flesh. And those are things that we as Christians should have put away from our life. But then we need to fill that void with good things, with positive things, with godly things. And in verse 22, the Apostle Paul begins to enumerate some of those for us. And he says there that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. You know, out of all the spiritual characteristics that the Holy Spirit, that Paul writing here, the book of Galatians, could have included in the fruit of the Spirit, he chose, and really I think here it is God choosing, to put kindness in this list. To help us to understand what is the fruit of the Spirit. Well, a part of the fruit of the Spirit is this characteristic of kindness. This characteristic of kindness is a characteristic, again, of God Himself. Is a characteristic, I believe, of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. If we are truly trying to be Christians in the very real sense of that word and follow Jesus Christ and follow the Word that the Spirit has revealed to us and left for us, we will incorporate this characteristic of kindness into our life. And so, as you and I, as Christians, as we are committed to walking by the Spirit, as Paul uses that language here in this text, as we are committed to living lives that are led by the Spirit, as we are living by the Spirit, kindness ought to be evident within our lives. Because I believe as you think about the fruit of the Spirit, as he mentions it here in this text, all of these godly spiritual characteristics, they are really proofs that we are who we say we are. And so I believe kindness is one proof that I am a true Christian, that I am growing in the Word again, that I'm trying to be more and more like my Father and more like His Son, Jesus Christ. And this characteristic of kindness, along with all the others that are mentioned here and elsewhere in the New Testament, it really distinguishes me from my former self before Jesus Christ. As the Apostle Paul says here, we have crucified ourselves. We have put the old man to death. But it also distinguishes us from the worldly people around us. And we know what the world is like. We talked about that a little bit in our adult class this morning. The world that we live in is just filled with hurtful, hateful people. And, you know, I've said to you before, I really don't watch the news much at all. But I see enough of the headlines to know that it appears anyway in this country that things are progressively getting worse and worse. Because we're removing God from the picture. And when we take God out of the picture, we take His Word out of the picture. And we take His standards and His values out of the picture. And we take those things that God considers to be valuable and precious, and we no longer practice those things. We no longer try to be like God. And so we're living in a world where there are so many people that are often hurtful rather than people who are helpful, people who are kind. We're living in a world where there are many people who are useless rather than being people who are useful. And so we need to be people, if we are committed to truth, if we are committed to God, if we're truly trying to follow our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who are committed to showing kindness within our life. The third question that we want to ask this morning is the question, who? Who is it that needs kindness? Well, the simple answer that we're going to get to at the very end is everyone needs kindness. But I want us to think about just some particular people who need kindness from us. First of all, our physical families need kindness. Like so many other spiritual attitudes and actions, kindness really begins at home. It begins with our families. And that may be another reason why our country is in the shape that it is in, because we don't have godly families for the most part, because we don't have, as Brother Todd's been stressing to us throughout this class on parenting, we don't have God-centered families. And Lord willing, we're going to think about that a little bit more this evening. Go back to the book of Titus for just a moment, if you will, and look at some instructions that were given specifically for those who were older women as to how what they were to instruct younger women to do and to be. In Titus chapter 2, beginning at verse 3, the Apostle Paul writes there that older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, not enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good, so that they may encourage, some versions say that they may train or teach, the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. You may be reading from a translation this morning that uses the word good there in verse 5 instead of the word kind. But as we pointed out this morning in trying to give a definition of kindness, you can give use the word good, sometimes can be substituted there. But it is that idea of doing what is good. It's also that idea, again, of being useful. It is that idea of being helpful. It is that idea of doing something that is beneficial for someone else. And so all of those words really are wrapped up into this word, being good or being kind. But in this text, the Apostle Paul says that older women are to teach younger women to be kind, and especially to teach younger women to be kind toward their families, and primarily to be kind or to do good toward their husband and toward their children. And yet, sadly, we sometimes show maybe more kindness to those people who are outside of our home, outside of our family, than those that are within. I don't know all the reasons for that, except to say that Satan, certainly the first relationship that he attacked when he was there in the Garden of Eden doing his work, was that relationship of the family, that relationship of husband and wife. And Satan, of course, still continues to work in our families. But sometimes it is, sadly, the case even for those of us who are Christians, that we don't treat our physical family as well as we do maybe a stranger, someone we don't even know. If we are Christians, such should not be the case. Because we have said, if we are true followers of Jesus Christ, again, that we're trying to be like our Heavenly Father who shows kindness even to ungrateful and evil people. That we are trying to be like His Son, Jesus Christ, and we are trying to live the Word that the Spirit has given to us, that we are trying to have the fruit of the Spirit in our life. And so husbands, wives, children, we all need to show kindness to each other, and we can do that in our physical families by speaking kindly to one another. The words that we say, the tone that comes out of our mouth, can convey a message of kindness, or it can convey a message of bitterness or hatred. And sadly, sometimes even among Christians in our families, we're not speaking as kindly as we should to one another. We can show kindness to each other in our families by serving one another. We talked about that last Sunday morning, that we are trying to do our Father's will in serving other people. Serving even when it's not requested of us. Just serving because we love one another and because we're trying to do something that is kind. Showing true love to each other, doing extra chores. Brother Todd again mentioned that about children, but that goes for those of us who are adults, for husbands and wives, doing an extra chore or a job around the house for our husband or our wife. Writing notes of appreciation to one another, a thoughtfulness. Giving gifts just because we love one another and trying to show kindness to each other. We're working on this in our family right now. In fact, last night, we sat down with our children and went over several passages about kindness in the Bible and talked about how they can be kind to one another, how we can all do a better job as a family of trying to be kind to one another and being like God. The very simple fact is all families need kindness. And so as you think about your own life, as you think about your own relationship with your physical family, you need to ask yourself the question, am I truly showing kindness to my family? Sometimes our family can be the hardest people to get along with. But God has still called us, Christ has called us, to show the spiritual characteristic of kindness. Secondly, our spiritual family, our brothers and sisters in Christ, need kindness. Go to the book of Ephesians for just a moment as Paul gives us some very practical one another responsibilities here. In Ephesians chapter 4, at the very end of that chapter, he says, "Let all bitterness," verse 31, "and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you." The Apostle Paul tells us there in verse 31, rather than being like, again, the world around us, rather than being like our former self, perhaps, as he said back earlier in this text, that we have crucified, we have laid aside that old man, and we are putting on the new man every day. We are putting on Jesus Christ every day in our character and in other ways. And so rather than us being people who are bitter or angry or full of hatred toward one another, yes, even in the body of Christ, we are to be kind to one another. And specifically, I believe Paul tells us here at verse 32 that one way that we can show that kindness toward each other is by forgiving our brethren, just as God has forgiven us in His Son, Jesus Christ. Again, it goes back to God and who God is and what God has done for us, that we need to remember that we have been recipients of the kindness of God. We have been recipients of the forgiveness of God. If we are Christians, we have been forgiven of our sins through His Son, Jesus Christ. And so if we're going to follow His example, we must forgive one another. Maybe a similar instruction to this is found in the book of Colossians in chapter 3. Again, very practical instructions that the Apostle Paul is giving here. Colossians chapter 3, beginning at verse 12. He says, "So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity." Again, notice where the Apostle Paul begins with all of these instructions, all of these spiritual characteristics that we are as Christians to be putting on every day. He begins there at verse 12 by reminding us that we're holy people. We are different from the world. We are set apart for God's purpose, for God's glory. He reminds us there that we are holy people who have been chosen by God. We have been chosen, we have been called by God, again through His Son, Jesus Christ. And we have been called to be a certain kind of people. And so it is incumbent upon us to put on a heart of kindness, Paul says. Just as before we go out into the world, whether we're going to work or to school or to play or to come to worship with God's people, that we clothe ourselves appropriately? In the same way, we as Christians must daily clothe ourselves with this spiritual, Christ-like characteristic of kindness. We show kindness to each other when we are compassionate, as the Apostle Paul says here. We're to put on a heart of compassion. When we show mercy for one another, when we are humble with one another, when we realize that perhaps we don't know everything, that we still have room to grow ourselves, that we show that humility with one another, again, a spiritual characteristic of Jesus Christ. We show kindness to one another in the body of Christ when we are gentle with one another, when we are patient as we are growing in Jesus Christ, when we are bearing with each other's burdens, all of these characteristics that Paul mentions here in this text in Colossians chapter 3. Not that we're overlooking sin, not that we're not dealing with sin when it comes up, but even as those situations come up, that we are dealing gently with one another, that we are considering ourselves, Galatians chapter 6, the first three verses. And we show kindness with one another as Christians when we, again, forgive each other of our wrongs and our sins, especially when those may be personal offenses against us. Our physical family needs kindness. God's family needs kindness as well. And so as you look at your own life and as you think about your own relationships with your brothers and sisters in Christ, and maybe Christians here at College View, it may be Christians elsewhere. But you need to ask yourself, am I truly showing this spiritual, godly characteristic of kindness to God's family? And then thirdly and finally, all people need kindness. We have a great example of a woman, a disciple of Jesus Christ, I think a Christian, who was known for her kindness. Over in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 9, and in verse 36, as Peter has made his way here to Joppa, it tells us now in Joppa there was a disciple named Tabitha, which translated in Greek is called Dorcas. This woman was abounding with deeds of kindness and charity, which she continually did. This is how this woman was known. This is how this follower of Jesus Christ was known. She was known for her kindness to other people. Luke describes her as a disciple who was just full. She was overflowing. She was abounding with deeds of kindness. She was full of good works, I think some translations say. She was abounding or overflowing with charity toward other people. And Luke tells us here that she continually did this. This was really what characterized her life. Sometimes maybe we as Christians think, well, there's not much I can do in service to other people. There's not a whole lot that I can do in the kingdom of God. But it may be, and it truly should be for all of us, that we can show this characteristic of kindness to other people. When you come down to verse 39, as she has died and there are some widows that are weeping over her, that the text tells us there that these widows stood beside Peter weeping and showing him all the tunics and garments that Dorcas used to make while she was with them. And so we know from verse 39 that this woman, this disciple of Christ, showed kindness. She did something useful. She did something beneficial, making clothes for widows. Perhaps she made clothes for others. We don't know the extent of her kindness. But we do know this woman was a true Christian. And she was committed to being like her Lord Jesus Christ. She was committed to putting on the fruit of the Spirit. As it was with this woman called Dorcas, all of us who are Christians ought to be known for being kind to everyone. And especially we need to show kindness as we are teaching people the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in fact, that's one of the most useful things that we can do for a person, is to point them to salvation in Jesus Christ. And so the Apostle Paul gives this instruction at the end of 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24 beginning. As he describes the Lord's bondservant, he says, "The Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wronged, with gentleness correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God may grant them repentance, leading to the knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do His will. Notice here Paul says that the Lord's bondservant in teaching others the good news of Christ must be kind to all. There will certainly be, and I'm sure that those of us who have tried to teach other people the gospel of Christ, we have run across maybe at least some people who are not receptive to the gospel, who maybe get upset with us, who maybe use bad language or foul language in describing who we are and what we're trying to do. And even those who are in opposition to the Lord and to His Word, Paul says that we must be kind to them. Because showing kindness to people that we're trying to bring to Christ is definitely something that is useful. It can lead them to repentance, as Paul speaks of here in this text. It can cause them, just a simple act of kindness or sharing the gospel in a kind way, it can cause them to come to the knowledge of the truth that they can no longer be slaves to Satan and sin. Now they can be slaves of righteousness. Now they can be followers of Jesus Christ. Now they can be saved. In short, one kind deed that we may do may save a person's soul from hell. That's how important kindness is. And so we need to be showing kindness to everyone that we run across as we have that opportunity. As we ask at the beginning of our lesson, we ask here at the very end, what has happened to kindness? I think for many people in our world, it has gone out the window. That's an outdated, old-fashioned idea or concept that just doesn't seem to work in our world today. But for those of us who are the people of God, it, along with other spiritual qualities and characteristics that we read about in the Bible, it must be our way of life. And so as we live this week, as we live in the world this week, let us be people who are looking for opportunities to show kindness to all that we can. What about you this morning? Are you a Christian? Are you a child of the living God? If you're not, God wants you to become His child. God has done everything that He can, short of taking away your choice, your free will, to make it possible for you to be a Christian, to make it possible for you to be saved from your sins and in a right relationship with Him. As we mentioned this morning already, God certainly has been kind to us. And He has shown His kindness to us, hoping that it will lead to our salvation. Have you taken advantage of the kindness of the Lord this morning? If you're not a Christian, this is a great opportunity for you to become a Christian, to confess your faith that Jesus truly is the Christ, He is the Son of God, to repent of your sins, to turn away from your former lifestyle, and to turn to God through His Son, Jesus Christ, and to be buried with Christ in the waters of baptism, have all of those sins washed away. As a Christian, are you living like a true Christian? Maybe you are a kind person, but it may be that you struggle with something else in your life. And if that struggle has led to sin, that has separated you from your God, from your Father. Won't you come back to Him this morning? Come with that humble, contrite heart, repenting of your sin, confessing that to God, and He will forgive you. Whatever your need might be, whatever your condition might be, if you need to respond to the invitation of Jesus Christ, we would encourage you to do that as we stand and as we sing.